Can you hear me okay? All good? Well, welcome and thank you, first of all, to all of you wonderful people at Hope Church for inviting Linda and myself to come and speak on behalf of Compassion. We take this as an honor and a privilege. We don't take this lightly, that you've invited us to this platform to speak to you guys about the work of Compassion, and really just to speak up on behalf of those that have no voice. Just a little bit about ourselves. Linda and I have been married for 43 years on March the 26th. And we have three daughters, Emma, Donna, and Holly. They are all married. There was a time when, as a father, I didn't believe that there was a guy on the face of this earth that was going to be good enough for my daughters. But God proved me wrong. He brought three incredible son-in-laws, who I now call my boys, into their lives, who are perfect for them. And God has blessed us with eight grandchildren since then, four grandsons and four granddaughters. So as a family, we are a blessed family. And there again, we don't take that lightly. We realize that there are many families, whether that's in this country or in poor countries, less well-off countries around the world, that don't have that blessing, that they have suffered hardships. And that is one of the reasons what has driven Linda and I towards doing all that we can to help some children that have not had the opportunities that our children, and now we see our grandchildren, ranging in age from 5 up to 10. They have incredible opportunities lying ahead of them. And some of the children, these millions of children that are born into poverty, they didn't choose to be born into that poverty. But every single one of those children have potential inside them, but they don't necessarily have the breaks that children in the Western world have. Now, the title of my message this morning is Compassion Unpacked. We may have different ideas of what compassion means. For instance, as I've mentioned, we have eight grandchildren, and we've been able to go along to sports days and see our little ones run a race or whatever. And they're all individual, they're all different. Some are quite sporty and some are not. But when they go along to sports day, and those that are not so sporty inclined, they struggle in the races, and you know, you want them to do well. And when you see them coming in last each time, your heart goes out to them. You wanna pick them up and carry them, you know? That's a compassion. Linda and I live in Norwich. We've traveled from Coventry because that's where our eldest daughter lives and her husband and children. And we've been helping them over the last few days move house. And that's been a little bit challenging, but that's another story. But coming from Norwich, I like football. And our team obviously is Norwich. Now, it saddened me yesterday that they got trounced 4-0 by Man U. You can feel a little bit of compassion for those players. I say this lightheartedly because they're being paid a fortune for that. But we have different ideas of compassion. You know, we can watch the news, we can pick up a newspaper, and we can see tragic circumstances. We can see refugees struggling to move to another country, to get away from war and strife that is going on in their home country, just to build a better life for their own family. You know, we've seen these images on the TV of refugees trying to cross seas and the tragic results of some of those. And, you know, an image that that is like burnt in my mind is that body of a young child washed up on a beach. You know, there is compassion can form itself in our minds in different ways. But, you know, what does, first of all, if we look at the Cambridge Dictionary, what does that say? It describes compassion as a strong feeling of sympathy and sadness for the suffering of others and a desire to help them. But in short, that means it's an emotional reaction to pain or suffering, whatever it is we're seeing, that inspires us to respond. You know, it's one thing to just say, oh, my team is not doing very well, but compassion also means doing something to help. And, you know, the Bible is our life, it's our guidebook for life. And if we look to the Bible and ask God to reveal to us, what does your heart say compassion is? He points us straight to Luke 10, 25 to 37. And I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation. I know that there's many translations out there, and I felt that this particular translation spoke to me so clearly. And starting at verse 25, it says, "Just then a religious scholar stood before Jesus in order to test his doctrines. He posed this question, 'Teacher, what requirement must I fulfill if I want to live forever in heaven?' Jesus replied, 'What does Moses teach us? What do you read in the law?' The religious scholar answered, 'It states you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your passion, all your energy, and your every thought. And you must love your neighbor as well as you love yourself.' Jesus said, 'That is correct. Now go and do exactly that, and you will live.' Wanting to justify himself, he questioned Jesus further, saying, 'What do you mean by my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'Listen, and I will tell you. There was once a Jewish man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho when bandits robbed him along the way. They beat him severely, stripped him naked, and left him half dead. Soon, a Jewish priest walked down the same road, came across the wounded man, and seeing him from a distance, the priest crossed to the other side of the road and walked right past him, not turning to help one bit. Later, a religious man, a Levite, came walking down the same road and likewise crossed to the other side to pass by the wounded man without stopping to help him. Finally, another man, a Samaritan, came upon the bleeding man and was moved with tender compassion. He stooped down and gave him first aid, pouring olive oil on his wounds, disinfecting them with wine, and bandaging them to stop the bleeding. Lifting him up, he placed him on his own donkey and brought him to an inn. Then he took him from his donkey and carried him to a room for the night. The next morning he took his own money from his wallet and he gave it to the innkeeper with these words, "Take care of him until I come back from my journey. If it costs more than this, I will repay you when I return." So now tell me, which one of the three men who saw the wounded man proved to be the true neighbor? The religious scholar responded, "The one who demonstrated kindness and mercy." Jesus said, "You must go and do the same as he." In verse 33, it describes the Samaritan as having compassion on the injured man. You know, it's quite clear that compassion is not something that just crosses our mind momentarily. It doesn't inspire just a few words of sympathy. "Oh, there, there, you'll be all right. I'm on my way." No, compassion means action. The Samaritan, he didn't just stop. He got physically involved. He dressed the man's wounds. He offered friendship, transport, and he provided ongoing financial support so that the injured man could be properly looked after. You know, the Samaritan, he got well and truly involved in the life of this injured man. He risked his safety. He delayed his schedule and got dirty. He got bloody on his hands just by coming alongside this guy who's in need. And let's not forget the danger that he was putting himself in, because they were times of racial tension there. And by helping a Jew, he was also putting himself at great risk. All for a complete stranger. Now that is one example that Jesus gave of compassion in action. But if we look at Jesus, his own ministry, he repeatedly preaches about sharing what we have with those in need. In Matthew 9:35-38, it says that Jesus walked through the region with the joyful message of God's kingdom realm. He taught in their meeting houses, and wherever he went, he demonstrated God's power by healing every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the vast crowds of people, Jesus' heart was deeply moved with compassion, because they seemed weary and helpless, like wandering sheep without a shepherd. He turned to his disciples and said, "The harvest is huge and ripe, but there are not enough harvesters to bring it all in. As you go, plead with the owner of the harvest to thrust out many more reapers to harvest his grain." Jesus was a man filled with compassion. When Jesus saw those in need, he never turned his back. In fact, there are more than 2,000 verses in the Bible that refer to issues of injustice and taking care of the poor. Now, that's so integral to our faith that if we were to cut all those verses out of our Bible, it would completely fall apart. It is that important. As Christians, we can spend a lot of time debating the way we do things. You know, we can have meetings about this, that, and the other, and that's good. That's fine. But you know, caring for the poor is something that should unite us Christians completely. Without needing to debate anything or discuss anything, if we see a need, it should unite us as Christians. In verse 18 of James chapter 2, it says, "But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds.' Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds." If we know we should be helping the poor, those living in extreme poverty, then the greatest challenge we face is, how do we go about doing it? Thankfully, God has got the answer. It's the church. There are 2.3 billion Christians in the world. Nearly one third of the global population believes in Christ. One third of the population of the world. There are Christians in some of the most remote, dangerous, and hardest to reach corners of the world. And also, within the church, there are a whole range of skills and abilities and gifts and talents. We've got people, I mean, there's quite a wide range of people here. You've all got skills. Personally, I trained as an electrician. That's my skill. And there's been many times when I've been able to help somebody in need who's who are less well financially off to do a little job. I'm not a carpenter, I'm not a plumber. I can't do that. I don't touch water. That always leak whenever I do it. But what we're good at, we can use. And God has given every one of us a gift that we can use. It might be a gift of listening to somebody else's problems and concerns. And often people are going through challenges. A good listener is all they need. But together, we are equipped as Christians and the church. We are equipped to meet the challenges that we face in this day and age. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, we read, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work." And it goes on in verse 12 to say that just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So it doesn't matter that we're not all called to be overseas missionaries. It doesn't matter what our job is or where we live. It doesn't matter how old we are or how young we are. We can all help in some way. We can all disciple people from all nations. And if we think again about the Good Samaritan, you know, he wasn't a doctor. He wasn't a physician. He was just a regular guy who happened to come across a problem. The poor guy had been beaten. He was bleeding. He could have bled to death. He was just a regular guy like you and I. He decided, though, there and then, I'm going to help this guy. I'm not just going to walk past. I'm not going to just say, there. He stopped. He took the man to a place where he knew he'd be well looked after. He used the resources at his disposal. We might not think that we have resources, but we have. The same thing is happening today. You know, across the world, there are churches based in some of the world's poorest communities doing what they can to help in the difficult circumstances that they find. But they are positioned as the church, the local church, they are positioned to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Right where they're at. Right there where they're at. What they so often lack, though, these local churches, is finance and support. But this is where the global church can come in. We can rally behind them. Those churches, we're all one body. Whether it's a little church in a very remote community in Africa, somewhere in Africa, struggling with very low income, the global church can help with that. Together, we can make each other stronger. And life is full of questions in that. Well, how do we do that? This is where compassion comes in. Compassion is a leading child development charity that equips churches in some of the world's poorest countries with the skills, resources, and finances to reach out to the poor. You know, often people who are living in poverty are very vulnerable as well. And sadly, the most vulnerable of all are so often children. You know, children account for nearly half of all of the people who are living in extreme poverty. The children bear the brunt of war, disease, and they often don't have a voice to speak up against this injustice that they face. And this is the good news, that we can personally help them. Compassion partners with 7,000 Christian churches in 25 countries across the world. They work together with these churches to support nearly 2 million children living in poverty, providing the children with all the benefits of sponsorship. As a Christ-centered church-based charity, as we saw on the video, Compassion is inspired to respond as Jesus did, focusing on individuals. If we keep thinking about the Good Samaritan, he focused on the individual. He recognizing their individuality and showing them how precious and unique they are. As I've mentioned, we've got 8 grandchildren, and the opportunities that lie ahead of them are enormous. They have so much available to them. But there is no difference between my grandchildren and a little four-year-old living in Uganda or Kenya or some other country like that. They have dreams themselves. But because of this poverty that they live in, those dreams can die because they just don't see any way out. But that potential is still there because God brought them into this world with that potential. Every child that is born into this world is born with a potential. What they lack is the opportunities to see that potential flourish and come to the surface. Not only are these children being given practical benefits like food, clothing, education, but loving Christian staff that know them personally. They get involved with their lives, with their families. They ensure the children are given a chance to learn about Jesus and his love for them. That they have a place where they can come and just be children and enjoy the freedom of just playing with their friends. You know, and we've witnessed this through some of our visits that so often these children living in poverty are not allowed to be children because they have to work. They have to walk long distances carrying big containers of this water, this dirty water that is all there is available to them. They may get a little while to just play for a short while, but then they have to help their guardians or their parents, or they have to labor in the fields. Some places, some communities, they have to go and break rocks just to earn small amounts of money. They're not allowed to be children. The great thing about compassion is that just as Jesus did, we make it personal. When you sponsor a child, you are committing not only financially, but relationally by praying for a child and sending letters. You know, we are able to write letters to our children, and we've seen firsthand what a letter, you know, letter writing seems to have gone out of fashion these days, don't it? With emails and text messages and all this, that and the other. And, you know, Linda mentioned that we sponsor a girl who's 18 now, Cake, who lives in Thailand. And when we first went to visit 4 years back, that was our first visit to her. We went to the project, and through an interpreter, we spoke to the project manager, and we got to ask questions. We were full of questions, and they had a wall full of, they had about 120 children in the project at the time, and they all had files. They had their own individual files, and they brought down Cake's file, and we were able to go look through it, and they were explaining about Cake's life since she'd been sponsored from about 5 years old. And we said, tell us how many sponsors have come to visit the project? We guess that you must have many sponsors coming out to visit. He said, in 10 years, you are the third sponsor to come and visit. Oh, that's a bit sad. Well, at least they all get letters. Sadly not. Not every child receives a letter. But, he said, the good thing is that when one child receives a letter, they share it. So they all gather around the letter and they read it together. And, you know, it in a way it made us feel sad, but we realized the importance of just some words explaining that their sponsor from the other side of the world is encouraging them, is cheering them on, is praying for them, gives them hope for the future. Just a letter, that is so important to them. You know, it's amazing how a child can bridge the global divide and unite us in the body of Christ. What does the Bible say? Truly, in Matthew 25, verse 40, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. You know, Jesus loved the children, and he rebuked anybody who prevented the children coming to him. I don't necessarily go along with the saying that the children are the church of tomorrow. They're today. They're here today, and they have a part to play. They can unite us. And I'd like to, in a moment, show you a little video of a visit that to another one of our Compassion children, Violet in Uganda. It was in June 2018. Compassion asked us if we would be willing to be a part of this video that they wanted to produce. And we'd never met Violet before. We'd been sponsoring her as long as we'd been sponsoring Cake in Thailand. So we'd been sponsoring her for 10, 11 years at that time. And for Linda and myself, this was a pivotal moment for us. You know, we were involved with our, we were on our on staff at our church in Norwich, Soul Church. We'd been part of Soul Church ever since we returned from South Africa. We lived in South Africa for 5 years, volunteering for Hillsong Church in Cape Town. we returned in 2013 because we felt that God was calling us back. We felt the call back to Norwich so powerfully. And I think when we look back over our spiritual walk, our journey of faith, we can see God's hand at work very, very clearly, perhaps not always at the time, but when we look back, I know that we're not called to live in the past. We're called to look to the future, but sometimes it's like driving a car. We have a big windscreen and we have a little rear view mirror. But we don't spend all of our time looking in the rear view mirror, because if we do, we'll either take a wrong turn or we're going to crash into something. We have to keep looking forward. But occasionally, we just glance in that mirror to see what's going on and where we've been. And when we met Violet, you'll see on the video, it impacted us in such a way that we realized that God was calling us in a new direction. And I'll explain after you've seen the video, but it never ceases to impact me every time I see it. I will come up and close after we've seen the video. I believe it's all about the one. If we can make a difference in one person's life, then who knows what that can lead to?
We take so much for granted in the Western world, and you know, when you visit a compassion child and you see firsthand, you realize what is important.
We're not able to see our compassion girls grow. We have photographs of them. Those photographs are side by side with our own daughters and our grandchildren.
Violet was quite little, and now she's 14 and growing up fast, so it's going to be quite exciting to actually see her in person.
This is, for us, a dream come true, to visit the girl that has been in our prayers, on our hearts, in our thoughts for 11 years.
When the family gets a visit, it is actually a blessing. The child meets the sponsor, and the child can never imagine how ever see this person physically, apart from photos and communication in letters. But when there is this sponsor coming physically, wow, it's just breathtaking. And it's a blessing to the families.
When we were maybe 50 meters away, we could hear them. The windows were up, but we could still hear them singing their hearts out. She appeared out of nowhere. I didn't see her coming. But she just threw herself at me. And I don't think I will ever forget that moment. It was like we'd known each other ever since she was born, and that we'd been apart for so long.
You're not just sponsoring some random person who you never know anything about. Each child is known by somebody. They are cared for, they are looked after.
I think about the staff, how passionate they are to see these kids thrive and flourish.
We want to add value on these children's lives. That means economically, spiritually, they know what to do.
We only play a small part, but to see the day-to-day running of the project that provides hope, Violet. I will always remember that and remind myself that she's being cared for.
Looking at each person on that photograph that plays a part in Violet's life, and I think that was the thing that struck me. You know, it's not just us. Each member of staff plays a part in making sure she thrives, making sure she reaches her full potential. And that's what really struck me. It will really be treasured.
I realise that I can't change the world, but I know Linda and I can make a difference in more children's lives. The only thing that I know for sure is that our lives are not going to be the same again. You know, one person's step of faith can start a chain of events that will result in lives being transformed for the better. For £28 a month, or 92 pence a day, you can personally give a child who's living in the grip of poverty access to education, food, medical checkups, but most of all, the opportunity to hear about the love of Jesus. That they can know and understand that they are loved unconditionally by Jesus. Through sponsorship, we can transform the future of a child and help them step out of poverty and into a future of new hope and purpose. We know we're all called to respond. And through compassion, we have a real and highly effective way to make a difference. This is Saw Yee Wei. And he's aged 5, living in Thailand. Could I ask you to become a Good Samaritan today and sponsor this little boy? Thank you so much, Hope Church, for giving us the opportunity to speak up for those who have no voice.